I greet you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. We want to explore over the next couple of weeks an important subject that has not been given the due focus it should receive, the Kingdom of God. If you ask the average Christian to describe and define the Kingdom of God, you would receive a range of responses. Is there such a thing as the Kingdom of God? What does the Bible teach about the Kingdom of God? And is this something that we should learn more about? Would our living be more impactful if we understood the concept of the Kingdom of God, or does it not matter? These are important questions that should get us thinking and stir us to seeking greater understanding. I therefore invite you to join me in exploring the biblical teaching on the Kingdom of God. In this series, we want to consider the following: the Lord of the Kingdom, the life of the Kingdom, the language of the Kingdom, and the love of the Kingdom. Let's firstly consider some introductory matters concerning the Kingdom of God in the Bible. According to Baker's Evangelical Dictionary, the heart of Jesus' teachings centers around the theme of the Kingdom of God. This expression is found in 61 separate sayings in the Synoptic Gospels. Counting parallels to these passages, the expression occurs over 85 times. It also occurs twice in John. It is found in such key places as the preaching of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 3 verse 2. Jesus' earliest announcement, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Mark 1 verse 15. The prayer Jesus taught his disciples, your kingdom come. Matthew 6 verse 10. In the Beatitudes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 3 and 10. At the Last Supper, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Mark 4, 25. And in many of Jesus' parables, we find the saying of the kingdom of God. It is important to note that Matthew uses the phrase kingdom of heaven, while the others use kingdom of God. Both phrases speak of the same kingdom. But what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is considered to be that realm that is under the control and rule of God. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Jewish people, in hearing Jesus' teachings on the kingdom of God, seem to have believed that the kingdom of God would have been a political kingdom, one in which the Messiah would take over political rule from human kings. A careful study of the scriptures will reveal the reality of two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Let us this morning consider the Lord of the Kingdom of God. When we speak of the Lord of the Kingdom, we speak of the one who rules or controls the kingdom. Every kingdom must have a ruler. The Bible teaches that God is the ruler or Lord of the Kingdom of God. He determines the laws of the kingdom. He determines the life of the kingdom. In Psalm 45 and verse 6, we are told, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. In Psalm 93 verses 1 and 2, we are told, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. In Psalm 47 verse 2, the Lord is called a great king over all the earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, is identified as the King of the Kingdom. In Revelation 19 verses 13 and 16, we are told he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7, we are told, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Furthermore, we are told in Daniel 7:13 through 14, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. In the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 30 through 32 declares, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set forth one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. In Hebrews 1, 3, and 4, speaking of Jesus Christ, he is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The final passage we highlight this morning comes to us from Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In conclusion today, I ask you, is Jesus Christ the King of your life? Have you given him the opportunity to reign as Lord, ruler of your life? It is my prayer that today, if you have not yet yielded to him, that you will do so before it's too late. Next week, the life of the kingdom.